for a closed circuit fee to the ball games. They had prize fights and different sporting events, and they had basketball games. The NBA championship series, the NBA playoffs, the home game, I guess it was, that they would show on closed circuit TV. Of course, the road games, they were on television. But the home games were on closed circuit. And I remember going out there and watching the Lakers, I think, winning the clinching sixth game. They beat them in six. They went. They took the Knicks out. And the 33-game winning streak, this was the longest and remains the longest winning streak in professional sports history, man. In one season, the Lakers clicked off 33 straight wins. That was a hell of a ball club. They won 69 games that year. They lost 13. Like I said, they had Wilt in the middle there. They had West on the point guard. They had Gail Goodrich, two little white boys there. Oh, Gail Goodrich, man, what's he about? 5'11"? I think he's about like your size, Tony. Little short, shrimpy little white boy. And then they had that West over there. They had Happy, Happy Hairston, man. He was at, I think he was at strong forward. They had Jimmy McMillan. He could do the little turnaround jump shot, a la James Worthy there at the other forward. And they had Kareem there. But they had that guy off the bench. Remember him, Instant Point Flynn Robinson. And that was a beautiful thing. And so, you know, yeah, I remember a little bit about Wilt Chamberlain. Not a whole lot. It just so happens that I happen to have been sentient, alive. I was walking around. I had full locomotion and mobility in those days. And, you know, I wasn't just sitting in the new furniture that my wife has purchased, eating those the funny little Reese's Pieces and wondering how in the hell it is I ever wound up with four stepkids. But those days I was a little bit more free, footloose, fancy free, going places, doing things, singing a song and watching the Lakers, taking down the first world championship for this here town. And old Wilt checked out today, man, 63. That ain't old. That's, you know, of course, I'm 47. So now 63 ain't looking too bad to me now. Back when I was a kid, man, 63, you might as well be 148. You might as well have been Methuselah. But now I'm 63. That's not old. The hell's wrong with that, man? He's still getting it going. He's still got a jump shot, man. I think he can play. All of a sudden, he croaks? From what? Guy was in the, he was in the pink of health, if you can, well, yeah, like, as pink as it gets on a face like that. But anyways, he was feeling good. He was looking good. Had him 20,000 chicks. I can't. Are you trying to tell me that shortens your life? Because if it does, it just furthers my argument that sex is, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be, if you'll forgive the use of the word crack. I just think that it's, ain't that cool. He jogged on the beach. He lifted weights. The guy was eating strained, you know, he was eating like strained beets. He was doing everything that you needed to do to be a healthy, vim and vigor kind of a guy. And he croaks. They find him face down. So Wilt, God bless, baby. I remember they restructured the game. They rewrote the rules of the game because Wilt Chamberlain was such a dominant player. He scored 100 points in one basketball game. Not even Michael Jordan had that kind of influence. And so we love you, Wilt. And now let's join the network already in progress with all those Salt Lake City pain in the ass callers. 1-800-449-8686. Wilt is still dead at 63. Pardon me.
平安門,你們好,多謝你們與Phil Hendry先生一起飛行。我們現在正在享3萬尺高空中飛翔。順便告訴大家, Chopstick,我們今晚的特別嘉賓是Jackie Chan先生,還有一題的是Fortune Cookie。 And now, here's Phil.
Hey, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Welcome, Salt Lake City. We've been getting your phone calls for the last hour, even though it was on tape. Now, moving along, the word, the F-bomb did not get dropped on this show last night. We had a call from a program director called Peter in New York. He said, what is going on with your show? People are calling and they're hearing the S-bomb, they're hearing the F-bomb, they're hearing all kinds of vulgarity, and I can assure you that it did not happen on the show last night. We are doing all that we can to keep that kind of lingo off these here airwaves. But apparently, I think people are starting to hear things now because a couple of them got out. Yeah, all right, so a few things leaked out early on in the last week. Doesn't mean that we're not vigilant. Ain't that right, Tony? You're on the button, huh? He's over there messing with his Ozfest CDs. He don't even know what I'm talking about. No, you're on top of things, and we're always vigilant that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Crap won't happen. But I think there's some nervous people out there, and so suddenly somebody got a phone call from a listener. He said, yeah, last night on the Hendry Show, we heard F. Well, it didn't happen. So you can't get too skittish, and you can't begin to let, you know, maybe one or two nervous listeners begin to influence your thinking. Now, if we're going to say F, if we're actually going to spell it out, we'll let you know when and where. Maybe tonight. At least one dirty word's going to leak. Watch what happens if I were to say to you, for instance, that at least one four-letter word's going to leak out on this show tonight. At least it's going to start with F, it's going to end with K, and that stands for fool, and it's going to be on the air tonight. Now, I will not use that word, nor will any of my callers, and yet somebody is going to call a program director tomorrow and say, you know what, I swear to God I heard it. Because he said he was going to do it, and I was listening for it. I think I heard it. I think it's like fork or something. I'm sure. I can assure you that we are more mindful than you of our responsibility as broadcasters. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Hugh Hefner's gone from playboy to bad boy, according to news reports and according to his neighbors. Now, Hugh Hefner owns the Playboy Mansion, which is over here in Holmby Hills. That's near Bel Air. That's L.A. That's rich. That's a whole lot of zeros. Residents living near the Playboy Mansion are starting to complain about his parties. They are now, just now they're starting to complain about his party. Are they getting better over there? Are they getting bigger? Is the house getting smaller? Are the cars getting bigger? All of a sudden, this guy's having parties. It's 1999. So, like, since 1954, he's had that magazine. All of a sudden, they're noticing all kinds of parties going on over there. And the parking on the street's getting rough. Neighbors told a local television station, Channel 2 here, KCBS, they said the local streets are a virtual parking lot every time he throws one of his elaborate parties. They contend guests park in front of driveways and speed down streets. The city council has deferred their request to expand daily two-hour parking restrictions and ban overnight parking on weekends when most of the parties are held. But members have promised they would look for a solution. Playboy Enterprises, a spokesman said, party guests will comply with any new parking restrictions, yada, 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 yada. The Holmby Hills Mansion, located just north of Beverly Hills, was purchased by Hefner in 1971, and it is his primary residence. I know that it was really worthy of talking about it, but I do have on the line Charlie LaFountain, and just to be polite, I want to get Charlie back on the line, because last night we had ourselves a little bit of a brouhaha with David Hall, and Charlie, you are a very fine gentleman to get the phone over here. Charlie, you there?
Yes, Phil.
All right, you're a nice guy and a fine gentleman to come on the air with us this evening after we had to push you off from last night.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Phil. And it's certainly, I understood that the situation was last night.
Well, you have been to the Playboy Mansion. Now, I'll tell you, Charlie is a media buyer, which means that essentially you're in the advertising business, Charlie. You buy blocks of time on local television and radio stations, right?
That's correct, Phil. We deal with a number of advertising agencies throughout the United States. We deal with a lot of ad agencies in New York, and we do place a lot of media buys, not only here in Los Angeles, but also we purchase media buys in San Francisco, in the top markets, Chicago, and places like that.
And you've been to the Playboy Mansion, haven't you?
I've been to the Playboy Mansion twice. I went over there for a photo shoot. A friend of mine had a photo shoot. They were using the Playboy Mansion as a setting or what have you. And I've been there for a party. It's always a great time. Mr. Hefner is a wonderful host. He is always very mindful of his guests. He always tries to make sure that everybody has a great time.
A lot of beautiful girls there, huh?
Oh, by all means, there are a lot of beautiful women. I think, Phil, the problem in Holmby Hills, and this is a problem I think Mr. Hefner has dealt with through his entire career. He is a magnificent, I think he's a consummate magazine publisher. That has always been his forte. And I think Playboy is an extension of his brilliance as a magazine publisher, but he is also somebody who is a what we call a mover and a shaker.
He's kind of one of the guys that's behind the scenes and gets people, introduces people.
I think the Playboy Mansion, you have to understand, is a great place for networking. There are a lot of showbiz people, naturally, who network there, a lot of writers, people in and out of the entertainment business. There are a lot of politicians who go there. You network, you meet people. And you have to understand that Mr. Hefner's been an instrumental figure in the careers of a lot of people in show business. So let's start with Marilyn Monroe, she had a very, very tasteful spread in Playboy back in the early 50s. Dorothy Stratton, who went on to some success as an actress. Madonna was in Playboy. So you have a history there. And the people, I think, need to understand that Mr. Hefner, as a individual who does that kind of work and does a lot of networking, there's going to be a lot of activity around the mansion.
He leaves that place, right? I mean,
oh, sure, he leaves it. But that is his primary, as you mentioned, that is his primary residence. It's also where he does a lot of entertaining. And I think that most of these people complain about the parking, or anybody who complained about Playboy, needs to understand that their daughters, if they're lucky in their lives, if they are fortunate enough, if they're young, if the young women in their families are fortunate enough, they will be featured in a very tasteful spread in Playboy. There's young women all over America. who are hopeful that someday they'll be featured in a very tasteful spread. Playboy is a very tasteful magazine, Phil. And you got a lot of women out there. You have millions of young women who are in their teenage years and soon to be young adults. They who are put together pretty good, and certainly it is their dream. And if your daughter, and I'm not talking about you, Phil, necessarily, Phil, but anybody who was listening to the program this evening, and they have a daughter that, so let's say she's put together pretty good, and they want to feature her in a very tasteful spread in Playboy magazine, that it is the dream of millions of young women to be featured in a very tasteful spread. And it is the dream of millions of young women who are the daughters of many of the people listening to your program tonight to be featured in a very tasteful spread there in Playboy magazine, because I think they do it very tastefully, as I mentioned. So you have people listening to your program this evening need to understand that if they are fortunate enough to be one of the chosen few, and if they are fortunate enough to be one of those families who have a daughter who's put together pretty good and eventually does make it up to the ranks where she's featured in a tasteful spread, then, you know, all the doors are going to open for them. Because Mr. Hefner is a man, as they say, who networks. He's a man who knows all of the major producers. He's a man who knows all of the major players, all of the major directors in Hollywood. And the careers that he has started, the careers that he has launched, I mean, we'd be here all night talking about it. So I think that when you start to look at Mr. Hefner and you say, well, he's being a nuisance in his neighborhood, or you start to look at Mr. Hefner and you say that he is doing some things over there that maybe some of the neighbors don't like, keep in mind that if you're lucky, that your daughter could make it through, and there's a number of different levels that you have to break through. You have to, first of all, get a picture. There'll be a picture that's taken out of the, looked at, and they say, well, this is a very, you know, it's a very tasty-looking young lady. And then you break through, and then they feature you in a tasteful spread. So what I'm trying to say is that I think before people want to jump all over Mr. Hefner, they have to understand that if they're fortunate, Mr. Hefner will feature them in a very tasteful spread.
And well, not them, but their daughters.
Their daughters, yeah. So there are a lot of young women out there, certainly, who want to be featured in a tasteful spread. And I think you owe it to your daughter to do what you can to feature in a tasteful spread. I can tell you that there are a number of young women to prepare a young woman, how old you are. They ask a lot of questions. What turns you on about men? What turns you off about men? Your pet peeves, your ambitions, your goals. All of these things make up the very tasteful spreads that they do. And Mr. Hefner's mansion certainly is a place that is a beautiful place. There's a lot of networking that goes on.
All right, Charlie, I got to interrupt you here, okay?
Sure, Phil.
And we got to take a break. And you're talking about a lot of the people who might have find fault with Hugh Hefner. If they're fortunate enough, their daughters break through those various levels of application, if you will, to eventually make it into the pages of Playboy. excuse me. Oh, that's better. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, more of Phil Hendry.
Thank you. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Charlie LaFountain on the air with us this evening. He's a media buyer, been in the advertising business for a long time, talking about Hugh Hefner and Playboy magazine. That's really what we're talking about, Charlie, not so much as parking problems, right?
Well, I think a lot of the neighborhood complaints stem from a view of Mr. Hefner that is unfair. And I would say again, I'm a father, Phil. I have a daughter who's going to be 17 next month, and I would consider it an honor for Mr. Hefner to feature her in Playboy in a very tasteful spread. And what I mean by tasteful, Playboy has always been wonderful. They don't have any of that early morning dew. Very tasteful. There's no early morning dew. There is none of the salaciousness. And so they stay away a lot from the early morning dew. They go with a very tasteful spread, and this is what I'm talking about. And I would venture to say that anyone who is right-thinking, I think anyone who is open-minded would say that there is nothing tasteless about it. I think it's a very tasteful magazine.
All right, Charlie. excuse me, Charlie LaFont with us. We go to Alpharetta on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Excuse me. Yes, Charlie, I disagree with you totally. Playboy does nothing to uplift women in America. If anything,
Well, I think it's easy to say when you're so far removed from what's really going on over there. Mr. Hefner has, I think, launched a great many careers. He has launched a great many contacts with producers and directors. There are a great many young women who owe a tremendous careers to
Mr. Hefner. But you know what? I'm a woman.
Those women, and keep in mind, those women are not doing that under duress. They are doing it because they understand that this is a artistic statement that appeals
to... They're doing it for money.
That's what an artist does.
Okay,
does
you condescend...
Women can do anything for money. Women can do a lot of things for money.
If it's so easy
to be in the pages of Playboy, there's a lot easier ways of making money, isn't there? So if a woman is going shooting for the heights with a Playboy magazine and a very tasteful spread inside a magazine like the Playboy...
You know what you're telling women? There's a window of opportunity in their life that they are attractive, that they have to be young.
Well, I don't
civil
think that's
rights,
a newsflash.
Would you agree that civil rights change attitudes in people?
Well, that's not a newsflash. There is a window, all right? There's a finite window.
We need a magazine that changes attitudes of people.
Well, I can tell you.
The attitude of men about what's desirable in a woman.
Playboy changed the attitudes of a lot of people. It freed up sexuality. And Playboy, again, is not tasteless.
Playboy tells us we have to be young and beautiful to be attractive.
Playboy tells men that there are young and beautiful women.
And it tells men the other women are not attractive.
And I will say this, that it is a very tasteful magazine. There is no early morning dew. It is not salacious.
It doesn't do anything for women as a whole.
Well, it's not a magazine for women. It's not a magazine for women. Women have magazines. You've got Cosmopolitan. You've got whatever that is in Red Book.
This is a magazine for men.
Okay.
What about what he just said? It's a magazine for men. It's not for women.
But it hurts women.
Well, why do women do it? Why do women volunteer to do it?
The women that do it make the money. They might be happy. But women as a whole, women like me, it hurts.
How does it hurt you?
It hurts me because...
Are we talking about your looks?
Have you got
a problem with your looks?
Right, because I'm an average woman.
What is your problem with your looks?
I'm just an average woman.
Well, what does that mean, you're an average woman? Do you want to be desired by a man?
What?
Do you want to be desired by a man?
Right.
Oh, you would like to be desired by a man. So why not start getting a little bit more in tune with what men want? If you want to be desired by a man, then why not start looking like something that a man might want to spend a few minutes with?
I'm healthy.
Well, I can't make myself beautiful. You're unhealthy?
I am healthy, but I'm not beautiful like a young woman. I'm not young.
Let me ask this. So it's because you're not beautiful, you want all other women to be less beautiful. Is that it?
No, I'm.
Well, then if you want to be desired by men the same way that women in Playboy are desired by men? Why should women in Playboy be punished because you're not good looking?
I'm not punishing them.
Punishing you? Why?
Yes.
You want to be? Yes. You just said you want to be desired by men the same way that women in Playboy want to be desired by men. So, it seems like your avenue is clear. Start looking like a chick in Playboy. Is that right, Charlie?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Phil.
All right. Here is Huntington Beach on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Well,
I love you dearly. I used to listen to you from Canada all the time by satellite. But, you know, your guest is out to lunch. He's from Ireland. He does not know what's going on, Phil. He's completely out to lunch. I mean, Playboy is an anachronism. It's from another era. It's the old...
All right, well, it still sells a lot of magazines, so... 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. What do you say to these women that say that it's...
Well, Philly's a cause for women, all right? I don't know what to say, other than that they don't read the magazine. It's a magazine for men, and I certainly understand that, okay? But if they're worried about how their daughters are going to be treated, if they're worried about how they're going to be treated, you're hearing from a lot of women who never get into Playboy, and I say that with great respect to the ladies who just called. They're not going to be in Playboy magazine. They're well over the age that anybody would be interested in looking at them. You know that.
Well, what about their husbands and their boyfriends?
Well, sure, they got the husbands and boyfriends want to look at them, but there's no man who is a mass consumer of erotic images is going to want to look at some, you know, one of these, the women just called in. I mean, obviously they're not good looking. I don't know what their problem is. We're talking about very tasty looking young women who are featured in the spread tastefully. And this is something that men want to see. So if women are upset at the fact that they're not as good looking as the women in Playboy, I suggest they do one of two things. Don't read Playboy and don't let any man that you're involved with read Playboy, or get as good looking as some of the women who are in Playboy. and get as beautiful as some of the women in Playboy. And that lady who said she wants to be desired by men the same way that women in Playboy, then I would suggest that she start. You can do a lot of things.
What are you talking about? Breast enhancements and
a lot of things. You look at the girls in Playboy. There's a lot of they're very tastefully enhanced. Yeah, they have silica, whatever they got to do, the collagen shots, whatever you got to do. And that way you can at least get yourself halfway there. But don't be angry at the women in Playboy because they're better looking than you.
All right, Charlie DeFount with us, 1-800-449-8686. So what we're talking about here is, what are we talking about? The validity of Playboy?
I'm trying to say that it is an artistic magazine filled with erotic images that are very tasteful, and the spreads are tasteful. And if you've got a daughter or a young woman in your family, just keep this in mind that most American families would be lucky, would be fortunate. And that lady that we just talked to there those two ladies you just talked to, they would consider themselves fortunate if Hugh Hefner was to feature them tastefully without the early morning dew in a spread in Playboy.
All right, Charlie DeFount with us here, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show. We're talking here about, actually, it was a parking problem near the Playboy Mansion. Now we're talking about the merits of Playboy. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bonjour et merci de voler des mains rien de Phil Henry. Nous contrerons d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis. Ce soir, le vol comportera Poodle. Je devrais mentionner Scooby American. Et maintenant, voici Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I guess Charlie DeFond is with us. I guess debating the merits of Playboy. This magazine's how old?
Phil, Playboy magazine's been around since the early 1950s. I think it's one of the, really, to have to debate the merits of one of the great magazines.
One of the great magazines.
Absolutely. One of the all-time most culturally influential magazines. A magazine that brought to the American people a new view of sexuality, a new view of a new view of culture and politics and everything. Hugh Hefner is a consummate magazine publisher. And all I'm saying is that you have to understand that this is a man who has made many careers. He's made many young women very happy. He's made them self-sufficient, made them very wealthy. And again, you have a lot of people who sort of strain against that because, in point of fact, and I know this, that there are a great many of these families that say, I would never want my daughter in Playboy until Playboy comes knocking on the door. And then when they see that there is a very handsome remuneration for their for the pictorials, and that there is a great possibility for career advancement, and there is a great possibility for a great many things to happen in their careers above and beyond appearing in the magazine, you understand? Then they start to change their minds. So you hear a lot of sour grapes from people. I would say to a lot of these mothers, first of all, I'm sorry that you're older than your daughter. I'm sorry that you're not going to get into Playboy yourself. I'm sorry that maybe you're over 40 or you're not going to make it into Playboy. Regardless, I'm sorry that a lot of these things have happened to you, but don't punish the young women of today by holding them back.
And so this is what, some kind of a women's rights issue? In other words, that there are young women who have that opportunity?
A great many young women have the opportunity for Mr. Hefner to help open up their careers, and in so doing have an opportunity to have their careers begin to flower and to go different places. Don't punish a young woman because she's beautiful. If you don't want to build up beauty in this society, well, where are we? We do believe in beauty, and we do uplift beauty, and we raise it up. Don't punish people for being beautiful, and I think that's what I'm hearing here tonight.
You think that you're hearing women punishing other women for being beautiful?
They don't want them to show it off. They don't want them. They want to control what the other women are doing. And when you look at the very tasteful spreads that Playboy has featured me in the past, and these, and if you got if you look at these women that are put together pretty good, I mean, you look at some of these women that have got a pretty good set of guns on them, or whatever you want to call it, in the magazine, you know.
Well, what do you mean about a good set of guns? A lot of those are silicone enhanced.
Well, some of them are, some of them aren't. I'm not about to make a value. I don't know how many of them are enhanced, how many are not. But I mean, you look at some of these women that put together pretty good, and they got a nice set on them, and you're talking
about a young woman who are featured in a very, very beautiful way. That's what I'm talking about as far as Playboy is concerned. Either you get it or you don't. Either you understand it or you don't. And if you don't, then you're a person who's anti-beauty because you don't have any... you, when you look in the mirror, you're not looking at anything staring back at you that you know that's going to give anybody any kind of a reason to get out of bed in the morning. That's not my problem.
All right, here is Downey on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hey, Phil, it sounds to me as though your guest really is interested in pimping his daughter for whatever reason, his personal gain or glorification, obviously one or the other.
Why?
Well, because he's saying how flattered he'd be if Playboy wanted to do a pictorial of her. And I think that, you know, it just sounds strange to hear a man talking that way.
Okay, is that it?
Well, the other thing
is... do you have a daughter?
I have a daughter. And
you would not want her to be successful?
Well, you know what?
You wouldn't want her to make any money, for instance?
Well, Charlie,
you wouldn't encourage your daughter. You wouldn't encourage your daughter in business?
Charlie, you and I...
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So what we're talking about then is the fact that these are people who, you know, for whatever reason, are going to go into this kind of a career looking for something more, right?
I think that a lot of these young women are looking for something more. They're looking to have a film career. Let me give an example. As I said, I've got a daughter who is 17. She's going to be 18 next year. We're looking forward to, obviously, if she has the opportunity to appear in Playboy, I think that there's nothing wrong with it at all. They do a very tasteful spread called called a fold-out?
Yeah, I've seen that.
All right. Along with some very tasteful shots, they have what is called like an interview in there. They got what turns you on, what turns you off, pet peeves, and that kind of thing.
Right.
What you do is basically you're going to ask the young lady, for instance, how old are you, and what turns you on about men. And she'll say something like, but I can coach your daughter. I talked to my daughter about what you say, what turns you off about men, selfishness, ego, wants to spend time with his friends and not me. What turns you on? A guy that's put together pretty good, sense of humor, very dreamy eyes. What are the pet peeves? People that are selfish, earthquake disasters, mean people, that kind of thing. And then ambitions and goals to work with Robert De Niro, own my own home, and have a have a farm or something like that. So this is what you do in terms of the.
What is all of this? You're coaching your daughter in answering these questions?
No, these are the things that the spreads do.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. Okay, so they say, turn on, turn off, and all of that.
The point being, Phil, I would consider myself lucky. I would consider any family consider themselves lucky if their daughter made it into Playboy magazine. And that is the bottom line on all of that. And what you're going to get are a lot of people that are anti-beauty.
The thing about people not wanting their daughters to be in Playboy magazine or people who don't like Playboy magazine, is it really anti-beauty or is it some feeling that the society is losing its moral compass?
Oh, come on, with a moral compass. We've been hearing that for years about the moral compass. Here's a magazine that made its entry into the American culture back in the 1950s, for crying out loud, and that was supposed to be the best time for America. So we need to prepare our daughters to be the very best that they can be. And in order for our daughters to be the very, very best that they can be, they have to keep all of their options open. And I think that's what Playboy does better than any other magazine. It gives a beautiful woman an option to go into that kind of modeling if she wants to. It's not a salacious magazine at all. We're not talking about, you know, like the early morning dude, they got that in Penthouse magazine or Hustler magazine. We're not talking about that. Okay, we're talking about a tasteful magazine.
All right, I want to explore this concept, Charlie, that you mentioned. And we're talking with Charlie LaFond. He's a media buyer about Playboy magazine and the photographs that are in there and the women that want to be in there. And all of this just came about because, Hugh Hefner, his mansion in Holmby Hills, I guess the neighbors are upset because there's too many cars being parked out there. I want to talk about this whole thing about beauty. And you were saying that the women who don't like magazine, like the magazine...
Yeah, they're punishing beautiful women.
Are punishing beautiful women?
That's correct. You're not going to find a woman who is beautiful or appreciated for her beauty. You're not going to find her putting down Playboy magazine. You're only going to find a lot of women that are over the hill. You're going to find a lot of women, forgive me, Phil, but a lot of women that maybe weren't blessed with the greatest looks in the world. You're going to find a lot of guys who would never in their wildest dreams ever be with a woman who appears in Playboy. You're going to find a lot of that situation going on. So it's a very, very difficult situation. It's a very, very difficult situation, and it's one of those things that I am that I personally look at and say to myself, well, that's a tough thing.
All right, so in other words, women who are into beauty are people who don't necessarily disagree with a Playboy concept.
No, not at all. I don't think they do. And it's a, like I said, it's not a salacious magazine. You take a look at what's happening to Hefner out there at his mansion in Holmby Hills. The people are upset out there. They don't like him because of what he does. But I think this is a guy that has done a lot of good for a lot of women in our society and will continue to do that. And all of these women, excuse me, who are ugly or whatever, they don't like it. What can I tell you? It's just it's a very unfortunate situation.
Well, okay, so we're getting back to the very tasteful spread thing, the fact that you've been over to the Playboy Mansion.
I've been over to the Playboy Mansion. You know, the women who were over there, by the way, are beautiful women. It's after an awful lot of makeup and an awful lot of silicone, too. So there's hope for a lot of these women out there who seem to think that it's a bad thing to have large breasts or whatever. You know, that you can go out and buy that, and you have to get the collagen shots. But these women are not the most knockout women in the world, I can tell you that. But the idea that that beauty is to be punished, this is a really, really, there are a lot of really pretty girls out there. But pretty alone doesn't make it. You got to have some smarts in the kid. The women that appear in Playboy are all college educated. They all have degrees. Many of them are going on to master's degrees. And I'll tell you what a lot of the women don't like about the women in Playboy, Phil, is very simply this. Not only are they beautiful, and not only are they sexy, but they're very highly educated.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know that. I mean, I've seen a lot of these women who are in there.
They're all in college. They all go on for the bachelor's degree. They all go on for the master's degree. They're tremendously educated women, tremendously bright women. It pisses off the American woman when she, A, is not beautiful, and, B, she doesn't have the same good looks as a chick in Playboy. So now you're looking at the cream of the crop, really.
Yeah, but she's parading herself around in the nude.
Well, she's parading her physical beauty around in the nude, and on top of that, she's able to make her way in higher education and in business. Mr. Hefner is making better women out of a lot of these girls because he's showing the world, Phil, and it's very important to understand this, that not only can you be beautiful, but you can be smart. Why not show it off?
Well, I got to tell you something. I had no idea that Playboy featured women in their magazines who were not only beautiful but very, very accomplished. I don't think I've ever.
Well, you got to read the magazine and understand who these women are. They're highly accomplished women. They're very, very beautiful women. So they've got the best of all those worlds.
All right, Charlie DeFountain is with us. He's an advertiser, and he's been over to the Playboy Mansion a few times talking about the kinds of women that appear in Playboy magazine. And there's probably some misunderstanding going on that not only are they beautiful women, but they're also very accomplished women, and that in its way, Mr. Hefner is elevating these women in a way that perhaps we would not know of did he not publish this magazine. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I ran outside and threw up. I'm all right. 1-800-449-8686. It's something we do the first hour of the show. I just go outside, I puke, and then run back inside. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Talking with Charlie LaFountain, who is a media buyer and advertiser, and had a couple of comments off the air here from some callers, Charlie, that how can you say all of the women in Playboy magazine are college educated?
I happen to know that all of the women that appear in Playboy magazine are either in college or have college degrees.
All right, so if that's the fact, and I don't know whether that's true or not, okay?
I happen to know it is true, Phil. It is a fact, and it is an indisputable fact. And what you've got is a prejudice at work. Listen to me very carefully. There is a prejudice against beauty that is every bit as strong as the prejudice against homeliness, if you will, or obesity. There is a very, very graphic prejudice against beauty. And I'll tell you why it's prejudice, okay?
Yeah, I got to hear this.
All right. It's because nobody will believe that a beautiful woman appearing in the pages of Playboy could also be college-educated or could be in college. No one wants to believe that because they don't want to believe that beauty can also be smart. That is the very graphic prejudice that is at work today in America. That is a very graphic prejudice that is at work today among people against beauty. And I'll tell you something, a lot of the women that we've been talking to tonight, if they were honest with themselves, they would realize it isn't about using women, and it isn't about women being put upon, it isn't about women being put down. It's that they have a prejudice against the beautiful woman, showing off her beauty, also being intelligent, pleasing a man in terms of erotic image, and still having her own life.
And well, that's some pretty heady stuff that you're talking about, okay?
I understand. Most people are not going to understand what I'm talking about. Most of your listeners will not get the concept of prejudice against beauty. It's so foreign from the way that they're used to thinking and the way that they're used to dealing with life that it's just completely, they're incapable of thinking about it. But I would ask, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I sort of understand what you're saying. I can understand that I've often heard people put down really, really beautiful women or really, really handsome men.
Right, because obviously they must be shallow. If they're beautiful, they got to be shallow. So that prejudice is every bit as real as the prejudice against homeliness, the prejudice against color, the prejudice against women in general. It's very, very real.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, that might make some sense. I don't know. It's Phil Henry's show. 1-800-449-8686. And when we talk about that, we're also talking about the inability of a lot of people to understand that, okay? Right?
Well, that's right, because you're not going to get a lot of people to understand. I don't think that you've got an audience out there right now that could absolutely grasp that concept. The fact that being prejudiced against beauty is every bit as real. I have a daughter who is going to be 17 next month. She is absolutely gorgeous. And because of that, she doesn't get invited to parties. A lot of the guys are afraid of her because they think she's a snob. A lot of the girls don't want to hang around with her because they think that she's too pretty. And if she's too pretty, she's going to attract a lot of the boys. She spends more Saturday nights alone than you could shake a stick at. Can you believe that?
And well, I mean, we've heard it said. Yeah, I mean, that you're absolutely right. I've heard it said that sometimes people, they're good looking, and people automatically assume that they got their nose stuck in there.
Ah, see, so now I'm beginning to change your view of this, aren't I?
Well, yeah. I mean, it starts to make a little bit of sense.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And now take that prejudice against beauty and apply it to Playboy magazine and the women in there, and now you have it full bore, full blown, beautiful women, college-educated women, and all the other women of America hate their living guts.
Because they're beautiful.
Because they're beautiful. And because they're smart, and because they operate in a world of men, and because they get it. It's a sad thing, I think, Phil, for a woman to wake up, look in the mirror, see herself as not being all that good-looking, see herself perhaps as being sort of ugly, and then she doesn't even have the beautiful women of the world to beat up on because she realizes the beautiful women of the world she hates because she's prejudiced, and they're smarter than her. And imagine being ugly and dumber than a beautiful woman who's smart. I'm not a woman, but I would...
Say that again?
I said, imagine being ugly and dumb and then a woman who's beautiful and smart. Who would you want to be?
I guess I'd want to be beautiful and smart.
You want to be beautiful and smart. That's what you're talking about. And all of these stereotypes about degrading against women and all of that stuff, it's just the jealousy of these women and their inability to deal with their own world.
All right, Charlie DeFound on the line with us here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Azusa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Did what he said
make any sense to you?
I'm sorry?
What he just said, did that make any sense to you?
No. He was totally
A prejudice against beauty?
I think that there is a prejudice against beauty.
Ah,
but I think,
there you go, see?
But I think that the whole idea of that ugly women that they don't agree with, that they're the only ones who disagree
are
with.
Are you beautiful? You sound like you're probably an attractive young woman, right?
Yes.
All right, so you know that a lot of these women are not as good looking as you. They don't like you.
I'm sorry?
A lot of these women are not as good looking as you. They don't like you. They don't want you around their boyfriends, that kind of thing, right?
Well, I'm saying that the whole idea that I am a beautiful woman, and I totally disagree with the idea of Playboy. And I think it objectifies women and it degrades women.
But there's a lot of beautiful, there's a lot of ugly women out there that don't like you because you're beautiful.
Well, then that's...
So why not allow yourself to be objectified a little bit and make a little bit of money?
No way.
Why not? Are you in college?
Be objectified by men?
Have you been in college?
I'm sorry?
Have you been to school in college?
Yes, I am in college. I'll be graduating this year.
So you're in college. You got a college degree. You're an educated young woman, and you show your beauty off.
No.
So
my beauty comes from within. My beauty isn't about my boobs and having all these men just go after me because of...
So it wouldn't matter to you if you were ugly?
Huh?
It wouldn't matter to you if you were ugly?
No.
Well, I tell you, you got a lot to learn. You've got a lot to learn about men, too.
No, but I'm saying that the whole idea that you're saying that it's ugly women that are against Playboy, that's wrong. There's a lot of beautiful women who are against Playboy, too.
Name one.
Because it
is. Name one.
What do you mean, name one? How's she going to name one?
Name one beautiful.
100 right now.
All right, go ahead.
Edith, Bree, all my friends that I know of, they are...
All your friends are beautiful, so you hang around with beautiful women?
Yes.
You don't hang around with ugly women?
I do hang around with non-attractive women.
What do they think about Playboy?
And they don't like it either.
All right, so what are we talking about here?
That woman that just described in the background, she good looking or ugly?
She's very good looking.
Why is she screaming?
Because she heard her name on the radio.
Edith Bree.
Yes.
Oh, I guess we're going to hear her scream in about 7 seconds.
All right, so in other words, the beautiful women in your life hate Playboy as much as the... So your whole thing about prejudice against beauty is in the garbage.
Well, I thought it was a good idea.
No.
And it seemed all right to me. You don't like it?
No.
No, I guess she doesn't. All right, well, listen, thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Phil Henry Show here. Thanks, Charlie, for your edifying view into the... By the way, do you read Playboy?
No, I don't like it.
Why?
I just think it's...
You don't like Playboy?
No, not really. I mean, I think the women are tasty, you know, but it's the taste, but it's too much reading for me.
Too much reading?
Yeah, right. It's just, I don't know. I think it objectifies women on a certain level. I wouldn't want my daughter to be in the thing.
You just spent all this time telling me. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, it's not that good. I read Penthouse.